Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Combos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. And to all the United States listeners listening, happy Thanksgiving. This episode is going live on Thanksgiving, but today's episode is great. I chat with Erin Azar, who's actually been on the podcast like a year ago. You may know her as Mrs. Space Cadet on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. She's an icon. One of my favorite people on any of those platforms. She self-titles herself as a struggle runner. She just ran the Chicago Marathon, did some incredible post-race interviews at the New York City Marathon and Elite 5K. Anyways, this was one of my favorite episodes in a long time, so I hope you guys enjoy being a little bit of a fly on the wall. Let's get into it. Okay, Erin, back on the podcast. I'm so excited to chat. It's been, I think, over a year now, and a lot has changed. I feel like for both of us, but definitely for you. I don't know. You've been leveling up. Every time I see you, I'm like, sheesh, you've like took on some new project and it's so cool. So I'm excited to chat.
Well, thanks for having me back. Has it really been over a year?
Yeah, I think we chatted. I think I was looking and it's, oh we chatted in October of last year. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, we see each other every day on social media. So I feel like it hasn't been that long.
Yeah. The last year has also been like kind of a blur. I feel like it went by so fast. I'm kind of disturbed that it's literally almost 2023 now. So
yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so relatable. Like I forget what I did last year. I know it was a lot, but I think I like blacked out or something.
Same. I feel like It was just January 1st.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, 2022 is going to be my year.
Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, well, to start off, if people don't know who you are, which I feel like anyone who listens to this probably already does, but do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of a summary of what you're about.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick rundown. My name's Erin Azar. I'm a running content creator, which is hilarious to say. I live in Pennsylvania. I have three kids, a husband who begrudgingly films some of my videos. And it's funny to say I'm a running content creator because I always hated running and I was never a runner. So saying that just like, I don't know, I just have to laugh at it. But anyway, so I became that because I started running a few years ago, like right before the pandemic. And then I just was trying to find some running friends, posted on TikTok. You know how that goes, just like anything random can go viral. So that's what happened. And I've been riding that wave since and just having fun.
Yeah. I feel like you're not giving yourself enough credit though. You say everything can go viral on TikTok, but I feel like you put in the consistent effort to make your presence known on that app and other apps too.
Yeah.
Like you really built a really cool brand across all platforms, which is hard to do.
Yeah. I mean, holy moly. I should give myself more credit. I think when I posted it and it went viral, I was like, oh, okay, that was easy. Yeah. But no, I did put in work to like consistently build a community there. Then like slowly went over to Instagram once you didn't have to post just photos. And now I slowly like infiltrated YouTube a little bit more, which you're big on YouTube. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Do you
oh,
do
it's
your
much
own,
harder than TikTok.
Like, you do your own filming and stuff, and I'm assuming you edit. And yeah, it's just a lot.
Yeah, I actually literally last week just got a YouTube editor for the first time. So it will probably
Good.
Change the game for me. But yeah, for the last, what is it, almost five years, I've been editing myself, which is painful because I'm not a good editor. Like,
I'm not
it's not
either.
My passion. Yeah.
I'm slow. And then it, yeah, it's, oh my gosh, it's like painstaking.
Yeah, it was so funny though. The other day, I was looking at my YouTube studio page, which is kind of like your analytics page, whatever. And it says like what your most recent subscriber, like who your most recent subscribers are, if they're like public. I don't really even know, but your name was on there. And I was like, oh, thank you for subscribing to my YouTube channel.
Yeah, I can't believe that I wasn't, because I remember seeing your YouTube videos last year, or maybe it's because I wasn't like as active on YouTube. So I'm like, no one's going to care if I follow them.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I post more, so I watch more.
Yeah.
And so I was like really meticulous about following like specific type of people that I want to show up on my homepage, because a big reason I wasn't watching YouTube is I would open it and I'm like, ugh, this is, I don't want to see any of this. But like now that I followed specific people and topics, I'm like, oh, this is, it's kind of like TikTok. Like, you know, you're going to see something you like when you open it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm like really particular with honestly anyone I follow. Like I have to like want to see their content, or else maybe I'm ruthless. I don't know. I unfollow them. It's no hard feelings, whatever.
Right.
When I end up unfollowing, but it's like, I want to see exactly what I want to watch. Like every time I open up any of my apps.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I made the cut.
Yeah. You did indeed make the cut. Yeah. That makes me sound like really annoying.
I think you're just curating your feed, which is really important.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, I think like literally a year ago, were you doing this full time? I think you were thinking about, or like trying to make it a full time job, but now I'm assuming that it is the full time job.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, last year, I think for me, it was full time. Yes, actually it was, because I remember when I ran the New York City Marathon, before that, I was freaking out a bit about doing this full time, because I'm like, this is super risky. And, you know, we have kids. And then I like quickly snapped out of that, though, because New York City Marathon, I saw people in real life and we were all like crying together. And I'm like, wait, these people are real. Real people are watching this. Like, this community is real. And like, I don't know why, but everything before that was abstract and hypothetical, and which made me not feel confident doing like for an income and things like that. And then that changed it for me. And also just the idea of when I started this, people were like, oh, well, you know, that could go away overnight. And that really messed with me. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? So could your job in accounting at that place. Or so could your job at whatever, like companies close. I was working for a medical device startup. And what does every startup do? They sell to a bigger company and then you lose your job. So I think once I put those things into perspective, I'm like, it's no bigger risk than like taking a job that I had.
Yeah. How do you, I wonder if my followers even care about like the business side of stuff. Mm-hmm. I always come on here and like when I talk to other creators, like I'm very curious because obviously I am one. And I feel like people are curious because they like the creator episodes, because I feel like it's just, I don't know, more insight. But I guess like, how did you, when you quit your job, how did you like start structuring your days?
Well, I mean, before I quit, I was already working from home for that company, like before it was in for COVID.
Yeah, before it was trendy.
Before it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was already working from home, so I already had a bit of a struggle structuring my day. But it really went with, I mean, the kids' schedules, really. So when someone had to go to school or get dropped off somewhere, or I would just kind of work around when they weren't home. I don't like to show the kids in videos. And plus, if I'm just trying to film a video, they're so loud. So any like filming I had to do, I would make sure that was done when they weren't there. And then editing was kind of like all over the place. So it was really just like piecing things together all throughout the day and doing a lot of work when they went to sleep. So I would like just not sleep because I would be up trying to cram a bunch of stuff in. So yeah, there wasn't really a structure. Now I have a bit more structure because I've been doing it longer and I see what works and what doesn't. And I'm not as spread thin as I was, I feel like. But to like get it up and running, it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially doing it like full time, because then it's like way more negotiations, like email time. And then, I mean, yeah, also just getting started and diversifying the platforms. If you're trying to do that all at once. Oh,
oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I did a really good job of just doing it like progressively, where I didn't overload myself. Then it got to a point this year, I think, where I was like, I'm doing too much. I need to cut back. But like,
yeah,
I can't even imagine, especially right now, because I feel like a lot of people want to be content creators and influencers. So then it's like the pressure to be on every platform is so heavy. Mm-hmm. But a couple of years ago, it wasn't really like that. It was like, if you were on YouTube, like maybe you were on Instagram and that was fine. But like now it's like, you need to have presence on all the platforms, and it's a lot. So
yeah, I mean, I just started on TikTok, and then I slowly like dabbled in Instagram, and I didn't really start on Instagram until they brought Reels on, because I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do in a picture. Why do people want to look at a picture? I don't know. I like looking at pictures, but not of myself.
That's so funny that you say that, because when Reels came on Instagram, I'm like throwing my hands up, like I'm throwing in the towel.
You're good at video though.
I mean, I can do some Reels every once in a while, but like short form content is just not my cup of tea. Like I'm just not, I like love oversharing. Like I need to give a full story. I can't give a minute long clip. Like I must give you like a 5 minute long clip on every single like little detail.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I like YouTube more, is because you just get more of a story. But, and that's why I really struggle with Reels too, because TikTok, honestly, I feel like you can sometimes even do stories that are like, I don't know, 3 minutes long, but Reels, it's like, you gotta get to the point.
Right. Yeah. Cause it's just like swipe, swipe, swipe. It's funny. I think that's why I started to like posting to YouTube more recently, because of that. Like I can't get it all out. But I didn't think people really cared what I was saying before. But now, after like years, I have such bad imposter syndrome. So it,
you and me both.
Yeah, it took like years of people saying like, can you do more like longer videos? Do you post on YouTube, blah, 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 till I finally was like, maybe someone does want to watch it. And then I'm like, but once I started posting on YouTube, I'm like, I like this. I can say whatever I want. And if someone doesn't want to watch it, they don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a good, like, it also, it's like a core audience, I feel like, because if someone's going to sit there and watch you talk for 10 minutes or do like live your life.
That's so true.
Yeah. It's like, they're real ones, you know?
That's such a good point. And I shouldn't like value like some comments over others, but in terms of value, it's like YouTube. Cause like you said, they are sitting through that. Whatever I'm doing.
Sitting through that makes it sound like it's like a huge chore.
Torture. Yeah. And then it's Instagram, because I feel like that's more personal.
Yeah.
And then it's TikTok, because TikTok's just wild. It's like wild, wild west. And I don't know where the comments are coming from. They change the platform all the time. Where are the notifications? So yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
I mean, social media is just the wild west. I will say, last week, or was it, I don't even know, 2 weeks ago, whenever you were doing the post-race interviews.
Yeah.
Dude, I was obsessed with those, because I think I commented on one of your Instagrams and I was like, or maybe it was a TikTok. I was like, oh my gosh, my worlds are colliding, because you, like, I remember when we were talking last year, you don't really know that much about the elite running world.
Yeah.
So it was funny seeing that, those post-race interviews, because I knew every single person that you interviewed. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I love this.
Yeah. That was one of the, I mean, I was excited to talk to you about a lot of reasons, but that was one of them, because you post, like, your videos are very relatable to me, just because like your sense of humor and everything. But you were also, or you are, an athlete, and you know all those people, and you know how they train, and because you've done everything. So yeah, it was just it was a really surreal thing because all of that came out of USATF just like commenting on a TikTok. And I was like, hey, can I be a water girl? Like, I was just in a way joking, but I also thought it would be funny if I could just like hand out water somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what how they hydrate. Do they in a 5K? I actually don't know.
No, not most of the time. You're okay. Not taking water cups. If you're
elite. I'd be like 2 miles in. It's already 20 some minutes. Like, give me a bottle of water. But yeah, so they took it like 5 steps further and had me hold the finish line, which was scary, and then do the interviews, which was, I would say, even scarier to me. Yeah. You would be like so comfortable because you either you know them or you know what it's like to be someone like that. So
I mean, I would be very comfortable in that setting where I know people, but I would be more uncomfortable with like a general population interview where I was just going up to random people. But the fact that I know people makes it way more. Like, I actually used to do that a lot. I was in the media tent after a lot of different like track meets.
Oh, okay.
I was like interviewing people like that, maybe like less so at what you were doing where it's like very one-on-one and kind of like comedy. It was more just like regular interview style, but it was,
yeah,
it was like all people I knew. So, and I loved it. So doing seeing what you were doing, I was like, oh my God, like that is just so funny. And I feel like that's perfect for you though, too. Even if it does get you out of your comfort zone, like, it was just so funny to watch.
Yeah, I just felt like when I watched let's see, what would it, oh no, you know what, it was more Twitter. Twitter is so scary to me, running Twitter. Like,
oh, running.
I am so scared to post anything, even like a joke, because people are gonna think it's serious and just come at me.
I'm not like a Twitter huge Twitter person. I just like to see funny things, but I'm heavy in the running Twitter. Like, I follow a bunch of running Twitter, and all I do is sit back and eat my popcorn.
Yeah, and they fight with each other.
So much drama with, like, I would say the specifically like 30 to 50 year old community on Twitter, on running Twitter, is like people are going at it every day about some topic, something, and it is so funny to watch.
They're always complaining.
Yeah.
And so one of the things back in, I guess it was July for the World Champs, they, a bunch of people, of course, the number one complaint all with every event is commentating. Whoever commentated, someone has to say they did a bad job.
Yes.
If they don't say they did a bad job, where is everybody? Because, of course, they did a bad job. And then they'll list reasons why they did the bad job.
No, okay, wait. I want to interrupt you really quick because also agree with that, where there has to be a huge community. It doesn't matter if they ask for this person to commentate, because once it actually happens, they're going to complain about it.
Right.
But then I really want people to put themselves in a position of commentating one time in their life.
Yes.
I've done it before, and it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my entire life.
I
commentated a 10K once, and it was like literally all just like people from one team. And imagine having to entertain an audience of thousands of people while people are running the same exact pace for 36 laps or whatever the 10K is. I'm like, you try to do that and then let me know what you think.
And
so that
also,
was my rant.
And also don't mess up. And also don't mess up someone's name. And also make sure you show the people that all these specific random people want to see, and just make an individualized commentary for every viewer like that, and then you can be good. It's so weird.
Yeah.
So that's always a complaint. But the other one was about the empty seats in the stadiums. And I remember trying to get tickets because I'm like, oh, that would kind of be like a cool place to learn and like make content. And because my audience also doesn't know about track and stuff like that. So I kind of wanted those worlds to collide a bit, but just on my own terms. Like, I'll go get a ticket. I'll film stuff and ask people questions, like, you know, in the crowd or whatever. And they were so expensive. I mean, the flight itself was astronomical. And then the tickets, it's not even for a day. It was for like a morning, was hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
One morning of one day. The event is like 7 days. So of course there's going to be empty seats, but also, there did seem to be empty seats and things like that, like low, I don't know, turnout of people just caring about track things. And so I kind of started to wonder, like, why is that? And I don't know, kind of like dive deeper into it. And I'm like, okay, I have hundreds of thousands of people that watch my videos, sometimes millions. Like, wouldn't it be cool to show a different side of track and then maybe get people that never ran track before still interested? Like, people watch football and baseball and stuff, but they've never played, but they're interested in the players themselves and stories and things like that. And I feel like doing these interviews was almost like a good intro to that, because I didn't ask things that like NBC is asking. Like when Abdi ran away from the finish line, I watched other interviews that asked him like after that race, and they were like, why did you do that? And I was like, that is so mean. I could
it's not
even
it's so mean. It's just like so boring, and it's so standard where it's like, right, you're gonna get the same answer every single time.
Yeah, like, I want, you know, do an interpretive dance with me about how your race felt. Let's talk about like food. Let's talk about, let me make fun of your 5K time, even though I don't know if it's fast or slow. And like, so my audience thinks that's funny. And then them being able to see the athletes also have a good sense of humor about it. And also Abdi, like, not running the right way. That's so human that I feel like that's a big missing component with pro athletes. Like, I look at them as not human. Even if I see them in person, I'm like, wow, that's interesting creature over there. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it is so funny that you say that, because anyone that's been watching my videos for a long time or even listens to this podcast, that's literally the reason why they used to watch, because I haven't really done an interview video in a long time where I would like go to attract me and interview people, but that was the exact reason why they watched the and enjoyed my videos, is because it gave them a different perspective than someone that's asking them, so how'd the race feel? You know, or just right, like, why'd you make this move? Like, snooze, you answer that question 4,500 times. Like, no one, I don't know. It's so nice to be able to see the human aspect of these professional athletes. And I had the upper hand in a lot of situations because I was friends with them. So it's like, automatically on camera, they're going to be more comfortable.
Yeah.
And with this podcast too, where it's like, yeah, I mean, I asked them about running and their background and stuff, but I feel like it's still just a different perspective than people normally get. But yeah, you're taking it to another level, because your audience is a lot of more general runners, and my audience still is kind of in the elite world. Like, maybe I have people now that's, they're not as elite like me, you know, more like, I don't know, just casual runners, but
yeah,
you're doing what I feel like I, especially a couple of years ago, was doing, but you have a way bigger reach than I did, because I was still kind of in the elite world.
Right.
But it's it's so important. It really is, because especially a couple of years ago when I was doing all this before COVID, one of my main goals with my like channels and my Instagram accounts was to like help grow the sport of track and field, because there is definitely potential there. Like, the athletes are all really cool, obviously. But yeah, I mean, it's cool to see someone with like your reach doing it now.
Especially, dude, let's combine forces.
Dude, this is what I was thinking when I was watching those interviews. I was like, you and I need to go somewhere and like genuinely.
No, seriously,
we need to make something happen, because I feel like it would be so funny and perfect.
I've been wanting to do something with you forever. And I saw, I think you were in New York City for a run. I don't know if it was like a sponsored event or something, but you weren't there long. And I know you live in like San Diego, right?
Yeah, that's where I live now. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had that weather, but I will never be in San Diego. Probably. I don't know. I'm on the other side of the country, but I remember thinking like, oh man, I wish, because once sometimes we are in New York City and I'm like, oh, I wish I could have met Emma and we could have like filmed a funny video. But dude, if we collabed, like did an actual like series together in that style, because you come from the track world and I come from the absolutely not track world, and we could make a good team.
Dude, I'm saying we should make this happen. Yeah. My schedule is free, so we should actually do it. I feel like it'd be perfect. I mean, now it kind of sucks, because I feel like marathon season's over, but
yeah,
we can find other things.
What do they do next? Run inside?
Yeah, they're running inside in those big domes, you know, around a track.
Yeah, that could be funny. I think that's funny in itself.
Yeah. And then you can also, then there's like the track people. So it's not just like distance runners, like you're getting the sprinters and they've got personality. The sprinters have a lot of personality.
I think you have to do that. Especially like jumping over hurdles. I mean, you have to have a sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we'll make something happen because I was literally thinking about that. That's literally in my notes right now. I was like, we need to collab sometime. I don't know what.
Please.
Yeah.
I'm going to brainstorm because I feel like it's a missed opportunity if we don't. And you need to, I'm going to go back. Are those on your YouTube? Like if I would go back?
Yeah,
would
I it's find just them? Like, okay. Yeah, there's like some from pre-classic, which is a huge track meet, like U.S. championships. They're all in 2019, so you can go take a look. But there's, it's long form. It's long form content. It's not TikTok style, but
you could cut it.
Yeah,
cut it into
you can cut it. You can always cut it. One of my favorites was the mullet guy, Craig Ingles.
Yeah,
dude. Like this is how small the world is. Craig dated my roommate for like 2 years.
No way.
So like Craig is in my like Portland friend group. So I saw him literally every day for like 2 years.
He's very quick on his feet. I mean,
very
witty. No pun intended. It was, I just meant like he thinks fast.
Yeah, he is very witty. So
faster
I feel like that was
me.
Perfect.
It was faster than me. So I had a little, like, he'd say something and I just had a blank stare because I'm like, wait, what? I wasn't expecting that answer.
I wasn't expecting this wit. I went right. I need to recalibrate.
Yeah.
Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by none other than Koros, aka my favorite GPS watch ever, the Pace 2. If you guys watched my triathlon video I did not that long ago, I was absolutely rocking with the Pace 2, as I am on every single workout I go on, because it has basically every mode that you would ever ask for, like swimming, biking, indoor cycling, walking. It even has a triathlon mode. Any setting you would basically ever need is on the watch. I know a lot of people that are looking to upgrade from, you know, their basic watch to a GPS watch, and the Koros Pace 2 is the perfect option. It's super easy to use, very straightforward, beginner friendly. I'm definitely not a tech wizard, so the fact that I can use this watch really easily and the app just proves how simple it truly is. All you have to do is press two buttons and then you're off and running, and syncing from the watch to the app and then to like Strava is automatic, making your life super easy so that you can share your amazing runs and workouts with your friends right off the bat. I know I talk about it a lot, but the battery life, you guys, it's probably my favorite thing about the watch because I'm a forgetful person and I forget my charger everywhere. I forget where I put my charger. So the fact that I don't have to worry about charging my watch that often is incredible because the Pace 2 seriously lasts for like a week straight. I don't even know how they do it. The watch is also really lightweight, so I never feel it when I'm like running or working out. I even swam with it the other day in the choppiest waves ever in the ocean. I couldn't even feel the watch on my wrist. And since this episode is going live on Thanksgiving, that means it's basically time to get your holiday shopping in. So I feel like this is the perfect gift. Plus, if you go to Koros.com and use the code COLDBREW, you get a free accessory with the watch purchase. So say you're getting someone the Pace 2, you can also get an accessory like a band, a charger, or a piece of apparel for free. You just add it to the cart before checking out and you apply the code COLDBREW and you get the accessory for free. Linked in the show notes, Koros.com, use code COLDBREW. Now let's get back into today's episode. Okay, well, I want to talk, because you just ran maybe not just, but a month ago, Chicago.
Yeah.
That was the big event, I feel like, on your calendar this fall. How was that experience?
It was good. I mean, compared to New York City, in terms of ease of everything, Chicago was amazing. Like, you just walk to the start line, and then the finish line's the same place. And, like, bib pickup, it was just like, go get your little number, walk over to that number, and go get it at that number. And it was like, I mean, everything was so simple, which I like. I'm a very simple person. And New York City, that was my first ever race, like ever, you know, in-person marathon. And so I didn't have anything to compare it to, but I remember thinking, this, just getting to the start line is a marathon. And how am I going to run a marathon? Like, I was starving when I got to the start line.
Oh gosh. That's the worst feeling ever before a marathon.
Yeah. I remember just like looking, I tried eating just a stale bagel that someone grabbed off of a table and with not like no cream cheese, but I was so hungry. that I was just desperate because I ate so early in the morning. And then by the time I got there, I was like, well,
where does New York start? Which borough?
That is Staten Island.
Oh, okay.
So we had to take I took an Uber to the ferry station, then the ferry to the bus line, then the bus to the start line. Then it's not even the start line, it's just like the village. And then you have to walk to whatever, like your corral. Then you have to walk another mile to the starting line.
It makes you wonder how all of those people get to the start line.
Have to be some missing.
Yeah.
And not because they just couldn't finish it. They just never made it there.
Yeah.
So Chicago, I just loved it for the scent, like just the ease of everything. And I was not feeling it that morning. I'm like, I don't want to do this whatsoever. And also the last few weeks of actually the whole summer of marathon training, I was so over it and I hated everything. And it was so hot and humid. I didn't have one good run all summer. And I was really like, why did I do this one? Because the first one I ran was virtual just to like show myself I could do it. Because everything was canceled. And then the second one, New York City, I was like, well, I just wanted the experience of doing an in-person marathon. And then I'm thinking like, why did I do this Chicago one? I do want to do the 6-star thing, maybe. So I think that was a little motivation, but why didn't I just take a year and not do that?
Yeah.
I just wasn't, and you could see in all my videos, I'm miserable. I found humor in it, but I was still openly miserable. And so even that morning, I'm like, I just don't even want to deal with it. Like, I know the pain that's going to come.
You wake up, you're like, I don't want to deal with this today, running 26.2 right. miles.
And I just knew how long I would be out there. I knew it would be at least 5 hours and it was gonna start hurting probably around mile 10 and blah blah blah, like I know the drill. And I actually felt it was difficult in the beginning, and then between mile I would say like 5 and 22 I felt so good. Like, yeah, I was picking up my pace. I made sure I got like, I was running through the water stations because I learned that you just like squeeze the cup and then it doesn't slosh all over you. Yeah. I didn't know that before. And I was just having a great time. I was running with people here and there, but then around mile 24, 25, I thought that I hurt my hip, and I was on TikTok live when this happened.
Oh.
I was like running and I'm like, I'm going to go live because I'm like by myself. It's like this really quiet section. No one was out there, and I was getting bored and I was kind of getting tired, but I knew I was almost done. So I'm like, I'll just go live and, you know, entertain people. But within the first, like, I don't know, minute, I was just showing the course and all of a sudden my knee just like gave out.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. And my hip started hurting. I'm like, oh, I think I hurt my hip. And so I was like, hang on, let me just pull over here and stretch real quick. And someone ran over. She's like, oh my gosh, I love your videos. And like, I didn't even say hi. I just like held onto her shoulder. I'm like, hang on, I just got to stretch. So
dude,
I'm like,
the chaos of this moment is stressing me out. The fact that probably thousands of people are watching you, your hip is hurting and a fan is coming up.
I didn't even think that it was stressful. I was like, this is like really on brand, and I wouldn't think anything else would happen but this, you know. And because it was going too well.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
Something's gonna happen to me.
Yeah, it was going way too well. And then once I was like holding on to her and stretching my hip, I saw the humor in that, and I'm like, I am so sorry. Like, thank you for stopping. And I'm like, yeah, you want to say hi to TikTok? But anyway, so then I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to try and run again. And it was like, not my leg, because I can deal with pain. I had, you know, 3 kids and 2 of them were 10 pounds and you just go through a lot.
Oh my God.
And so when I'm feeling pain of any kind, I'm like, Are you having contractions? No. Are you pushing a baby out? No. You're fine. But this was like pain, but it was, my leg just wasn't, it was like flopping.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then, so that kind of sucked because the last mile and a half or so, I had to walk a lot of it. And I'm like, man, I had such good momentum and now I have to do this. This sucks.
Yeah.
And luckily it was the end of the race, but what came out of that was me finally realizing like, oh, okay, maybe I do have to do strength stuff. Because I was like,
oh, it's just a brutal realization when you get injured and you're like, oh man, I guess this is why they say you need to do hip mobility drills.
I guess the millions of people in my comment sections over the years really were right.
Oh,
I gotta admit it. But like even they had like this guy at the, I raised money for Team Fox and they had this room afterward and you could get stretched or like ask questions. And I said to the guy, I was like, yeah, like right here. And I was explaining, he's like, oh yeah, you're IT band or this area. And he's like, you know, it's probably just fatigue. I'm like, is that a polite way of saying weak? And he's like, well, you know, he was so nice. And he's like, well, you know, some get that strength workout. And I'm like, yes, it is weak. I don't do strength work. I just need validation. Like, do I have to do it?
Tell me yes or no.
Right. So yeah, I've been trying to do strength work now and it's, I don't like it. Like no, someone made me like it.
Yeah. It's not fun. I was that person in college that would skimp out on the strength stuff when I could, which is not good. I don't recommend anyone do that. Mm-hmm. I'm just like type B. Like I just don't really like, I'm not a perfectionist.
Same.
So if I don't see that I like need it desperately, then I'm like, why am I doing this? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I would just head out the door. But yeah, I've had a hard time, especially like post-college. Cause I ran Chicago. It was the only marathon I ever did in 2019. And to do any strength training, it was like pulling teeth. Cause then I didn't have my teammates to like hold me to it, you know? Then it's just me on my own. And I'm like, do I need to do this? You know?
Yeah. Cause the runs take long. Well, for me, they take so long.
Yeah.
And then I get home and then it's like, you want me to do a full body workout? No. Like I did enough.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm done. My legs are tired. Right. You want me to tire them out more? And right. You have kids and stuff. Like, I can't even imagine. I have no excuse.
That. Well, everyone has an excuse, but yeah, I have three extra ones. So just fitting anything. Cause the mom guilt of leaving the kids in general, like to do a long run on a Sunday when they aren't at school or anything and they just want to play, is eats at you enough. And then to get home, be like, well, just wait. I have another hour.
Mommy needs to do her clamshells. One second.
Right. Right. They're like, they don't care. They don't care that you just ran a marathon and you're having trouble walking. They're like, let's go to the playground right now. And you are going to run all over these like climbing structures and play tag.
Oh my gosh. This makes me nervous for my future. What did your kids think of your like social media presence?
They know what I think it is now. Like my oldest is 8, but they don't have like phones yet or anything like that. And they also don't see social media. I mean, they watch YouTube videos, but I think like teachers at their school, they see the teachers run out and like are total fans.
Oh my gosh, we're getting fan behavior outside. Like, let me get a pic.
Yeah, which is so funny. Trying to explain the first time that he was then, I think, 4, my 4-year-old, why someone at the shore jumped. I say shore. You guys probably say beach.
Yeah, I was like, what is shore?
Shore.
Beach.
That's such a Jersey thing. We were at the beach, and he was riding his bike, and I was running, and someone jumped out of their car, and they were like, oh, my gosh, you know, can I get a picture and all this stuff? And then when we started going again, he was like, why did she do that? And I was like, I didn't know what to say. So I was like, I think she was really impressed by your bike riding skills.
There we go.
And he was so young. He believed me. And he just like looked up at me and rang his little bell, like ching, ching, and just like didn't ask anything else. But yeah, I think they just know I make videos and that's my job. And I have a lot of friends I don't know.
Many friends that love you and need to take a picture with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. I'm intrigued to see how, like, when they get older and then they do get phones and then come to realize that you're literally famous on the internet.
Right.
Well, who knows?
I hope they still think I'm funny. They do think I'm funny now, but I'm sure when they're older, they won't. But that's another reason I don't put them on in my videos, because of if they see them when they're older and they're like, why did you do that? It's embarrassing or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's really good. I feel like a lot of people monetize their kids.
That's a big thing I see on social media lately. Like people calling that out and stuff.
Yeah. It's so crazy. Like growing up and then like automatically when you're like 13 years old, you have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, millions of followers. And so you have no choice. You have no choice in the matter to like be famous or not. And you're automatically famous.
Yeah. Cause we're just now seeing these kids get older.
Yeah. Well, cause then you see child stars from like, I don't know, back in the 90s.
Oh gosh. That never ends well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's scary.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's good at least.
Mm-hmm.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, okay, so back to the Chicago experience. Since this is the only marathon I've ever run, you know, so I'm actually wearing my Chicago Marathon shirt. So
oh, nice. I thought that was some kind of like track team logo or something.
Nope. Chicago 2019. There we go.
Fancy.
I had to rep it.
Yeah.
It's so funny because like I don't know why they put the course like that, where literally miles like 17 to 24, there's no one.
Yeah.
So it's like the time where you're in the biggest Hurt Locker, it's barren and it's also extremely windy, at least the year I ran, where it was just like so windy on that part of the course. I remember there was like people giving out tequila or like whiskey shots at mile 17, and then there was nothing until 24. And then that's where I started to hurt.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
You're just sitting with that whiskey.
Yeah. Well, I did not take the shots. Because I was looking and I was like, who would take a shot at mile 17?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I couldn't. I don't know.
Yeah. And the day was, for me, it felt too warm or too humid, I should say. It was like 65 maybe or 67 toward the end. And I knew I was getting dehydrated. So that didn't help anything either.
Yeah. Well, why did you decide to run Chicago? Because
question. Really good question. That's what I mean. I was asking myself that. The whole like second half of the training, I genuinely didn't know. I think it was because when I finished New York City, I had such bad post marathon blues. Like I was severely not doing well. And I'm like, well, what would cure that? Signing up for another marathon to force myself to keep running. Cause I mean, I will say running is what helps like so much of my mental health. Especially like anxiety or just like seasonal depression, anything, it's always running. And that's why I still do it, even though I don't like it a lot of the time. But I'm like, well, if I sign up for a marathon, you have to run. You can't just go do the marathon and see what happens. You can't just fuck around and find out.
Yeah, well, I guess you're not going to do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't like what you find out. but so I think that's why I signed up for it, is just like, it'll keep me running. But I wasn't thinking of those last like couple months where it's so many hours running.
And you also I feel like, because I've felt that way many times in my life. Also like kind of with Chicago in 2019, it was like the same sort of thing where the first couple months I was like jazzed up and I was like, let's get it. And then the last 2 months I like ended up moving to Portland. I was really distracted and I was like, why am I doing this? And then I ended up on race day where I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. And it was the same sort of thing, but I feel like I kind of thought that like things would fall into place and I would be like super motivated at the end of the training.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it wasn't like that, then it like started to make me freak out and stuff.
Did it go well though? Like,
Yeah, I mean, okay? it went fairly well. I mean, I feel like at the beginning I had really high hopes. Again, just coming from my elite background, like I put so much pressure on myself every time I step up to a start line.
Can't relate.
Like, yeah, the way I executed the race was like, I would say perfect for a first marathon because I never died. Like I didn't bonk or whatever. I actually ran with Kelly Roberts.
Oh my God. She ran 14 miles of it with me for her training.
Oh really? Yeah.
Yeah. She's funny.
The best.
She is.
No, she like really helped me that day because we started out like pretty slow. Because if knowing me, like I just would have started from the gun because I just don't know how to race a marathon. I had never done that in my life.
What do you usually race?
Like I was a miler in college and like,
okay.
Yeah. The most I would run was a 6K in cross country, which is literally 4 miles. So the longest run I had ever done before training was probably 12 miles. So this is like a whole different ball game for me.
Yeah.
But I executed it like very well on the day where I just went out really slow the first half. And then I just cut down the second half and I ended up running like 3:29 something, which was like, it was just under 8 minute pace. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that because my training was not that great. And even looking back now, like I remember crossing the finish line and I was like, that was like not that good. And now
I would die if I ran that. Oh my God.
Yeah. I think I just had like way too much pressure on myself to like do something crazy with that whole experience. But looking back now, I was like, that was like a perfect first marathon. But it was like, I also relate to the feeling of, you know, you finish something and then it's like you lose all the structure and like motivation you have to like be working out, to be running, whatever. And then you just sign up for another race because you kind of want to mimic how you were feeling, like, I don't know, going into the last one, whatever. And I kind of had like that on a big scale when I quit running. Like when I graduated early from Oregon and I didn't take my last season of eligibility because I was like really burnt out, but I've been running my entire life. So then all of a sudden I'm left with this like identity crisis of, okay, who am I if I don't have running, whatever.
And Oregon's where like all the big wigs run, right? That's like what it's known for.
Yeah, exactly. So like all my teammates were going on basically to be professional runners. People were like super motivated after college, which also made me feel really guilty because I was like severely burnt out, I felt like. But then I kind of like defaulted back to running, even though I knew I needed to take a break. But because I was just like feeling so lost, I was like, you know what, let me maybe just like get back into running and stuff. And even the Chicago Marathon, I feel like was probably a little bit too soon for me to start training again, which was even just like a year after college. But I think I needed more time, honestly, like for my mental sanity.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people relate to that where it's like you just hop back into the next race because you feel lost almost.
Are you still friends with those people that you graduated? Oh, okay.
Yeah. What you think? I just cut off the friendships?
Yeah. Like maybe they're making you feel bad.
Oh no. I mean, it wasn't them like personally like, attacking me. It's more so I actually have really had to like leave the running world to help keep me sane because it would make me feel guilty. Like going to a lot of these races and seeing people that I had competed against or I don't know, like they were my teammates, whatever, still running and still running well. And meanwhile, I was here like barely being able to run 9 minute pace on my runs. Like it made me feel really internally bad about myself. Even though I'm doing like other things with like career and stuff.
Yeah, like now you know not to feel bad, right?
Yeah, now I feel like because I have like forced myself out of that situation and also really ingrained myself in like the general running community, not the super niche elite one, it's really helped my mental health. And even like following people like you or my friend Lydia.
I love Lydia.
Yeah, me too. And it's been really refreshing because I'm like, there's people that enjoy running that it's not like so incredibly focused on times and performance where it has genuinely really helped me. And it's like one of my main tips for people who are struggling with like burnout or motivation or whatever, or just like have confidence issues. I'm like, maybe like extract yourself from the elite running world and put yourself in like the normal running population because it's just so different and it's really refreshing. So
it's way more fun.
Yeah, it is. It's way more fun. Like even my Chicago experience, I was like just being able to like run with Kelly and we were like joking around and like being around all these people like from random walks of life compared to like the elite starting line. Worlds different. It's a completely different experience.
It's wild that you've done both. So like you can see the opposite like totally different vibes and feelings standing on like each one.
Yeah.
Each start line.
Exactly. And it's like, I want, it's bad though. Cause it's like when I'm on the general starting line, whatever, being surrounded, having like such a great time, I still feel guilty. I still
really?
Like, I don't think that'll ever go away because it was just ingrained into me for so long. And I knew that like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I'm obviously like a naturally talented person just from my upbringing, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that there's just always a part of me that like eats at me where I'm like, I could be so much faster and I'm not. Even though I'm having fun, like, I don't know.
Right. Even though you're having fun, is there like, do you still feel a pull to want to do that again? Or are you like definitely so over that, like being burnt out and in that world? And it's just that you feel guilty, or do you not want to ever do that again?
I think I have to be real with myself and come to terms with the fact that I don't want to be like that elite again, because it sucked my personality away. Like,
yeah.
I was good at running, but like I was not nearly as funny or witty.
Yeah.
I feel like I was just more tired and like my hormones were just kind of messed up. So, and just like the sacrifices I had to make to be really good, it's just like you have to sacrifice a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell myself that, like, every time I feel that way, I'm like, Emma, you like are really enjoying your life right now. Like, why do you feel so guilty? Because like, you've been in that situation, like you don't want to do that right now.
Yeah.
That being said, like, I would love to get to a place where I'm like feeling good on my runs again and like not struggling.
Yeah.
And I just have a hard time like finding balance. I'm a very all or nothing person. So I feel like now, especially like over the last year, I've really grown up a lot. And I feel like maybe I am in a place to like find a better balance of like maybe somewhere in between, where it's like, I don't need to sacrifice my entire life, but I would like to be a little bit better than where I am now, where I'm just like feeling better and like being consistent in training and stuff. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's like a weird position to be in. And I think a lot of like people that were as good as me, not like pro level, where the people that you were like interviewing, it's like, I wasn't at that top level, but I was like just below it, where it's like, you're not good enough to like make a lot of money being a professional, or make any money really. But then, I don't know, what do you do after that, I guess, with running? It's interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, you found a career with running after it. That's more fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think
less high stakes.
Like, just, yeah, and I credit, I don't know, I'm really glad like I went to Oregon, because I feel like it gave me this platform. Like starting my YouTube channel, like it definitely helped and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just honestly like timing more than anything else. It's been crazy though. It's like, I never would have expected for this to be my career, but I am glad that I can like stay in the running world. And I think you said something earlier, like about being on your own terms. Like, it's nice to just like do things on your own terms. And I feel like I'm in the running world on my own terms now. Which
I love that. And then maybe like eventually where you're getting to now is like starting to feel better on your runs and stuff. And then like a happy medium could be like setting, you know, a goal, time related, because that'll like give you that push maybe that you felt when you were always working to be better, but without all the like pressure of being pro.
Exactly.
Know?
It's
That's
just
really
taken,
cool.
Yeah. It's just taken years, which I'm not a very patient person. But I like had to like, I had to do it. I don't know what else I would have done to like keep myself sane and like get me back to a place of being like normal. And I don't know.
What's your goal for like what you're doing now, like with your content and stuff? I mean, you have a food business too.
Yeah. I have like a food Instagram and my own little food company, stuff. The food stuff has kind of fallen off though. I haven't really been making that a priority. Again, I think when I was like running at the elite level, like nutrition was just a huge part of it. And now it just hasn't been, which is not good, but I've just been distracted and I haven't been as motivated. So that's like something I've kind of put on the back burner, but I don't really want to give it up yet, because I don't know what the future has in store. Just like mentally, I'm kind of giving it up for now, but
yeah,
I don't really know. I've actually been, this year's been like a lot of reflection on what I'm doing, like with my accounts and stuff, and like what I want to do in the long run. And I don't really have any set goals, which is not good. It leaves me feeling lost a lot of the time. And I think I've just found like a really good sense of community here in San Diego, where it's like, I want to build more community online too. Because I feel like that's what gives me life. And like that, so it brings me fulfillment, and I could definitely do a better job. So I don't really know in the future, like what that's going to be. I want to get back on YouTube because that is like a really good way to foster community, I feel like, and just a better bond to people. So that's like, that's why I got the YouTube editor and stuff. And like, I'm going to start documenting more so just like my general life. I don't know though. I'm still kind of thinking about it. But I'm curious, like, what about you? Because you're not newer, but I feel like you're newer to like different platforms. Like, what are your goals?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, for YouTube, I want to, I mean, it's important for me to not like post for the algorithm. Because for example, oh my gosh, here's the perfect example, actually. If I post a short review or any review of like a clothing item on TikTok, it will go viral.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll usually go viral on Instagram. Now, if I post anything else on TikTok, it will not do well. But the power that you have, that I have, is not caring. Because so if I want to post, if strength training and showing people like it sucks, but I'm doing it, and then like maybe it'll help my running, that series and that like potential growth personally is so important for me to show in my content. So my mic is just slowly dropping. I hope that.
Oh no, it sounds fine on my end.
Okay. I just noticed it just slowly going down.
I couldn't even tell.
Okay. And yeah, so I'm glad that I have that perspective, because I think my stuff, even YouTube, could easily just turn into like, oh, I do shorts reviews. And I mean, you could grow to like one of those people that has millions of followers, and, you know, but I don't think I could do that long term. It's not meaningful. The community wouldn't be meaningful. And what's the purpose there? Like, it's entertaining and I could show people shorts, but I can do that in other ways too. And, you know, do those when I feel like it, not making my whole thing like that. So I think for me, my goal is to just like stay focused on what I want my content to be, more series based, because I'm like such a self-improvement junkie. You wouldn't know it because I'm very type B as well. And I don't care about, like, I don't know, being perfect in any way, but I'm more interested in the mental, like, why am I like that? Why do I self-sabotage all the time? Why do I start like doing something that makes me feel really good, but then fall off? Like, why do I let that? Why do I do that to myself?
Heavy.
Yes. So I'm kind of on this like journey now in my content to explore that more, but in an entertaining way, because I need to enjoy my videos. Like, I need to laugh at the edit or I'm not posting it. So like, even if it is kind of a serious thing of me, you know, trying to get stronger and figuring out these like weird mental things, I want to like get better, you know, over these series and then like in an entertaining way. That's like the goal of my content, I feel like, especially this year, is doing that type of video in a series, just to like show that growth over time, but just in my normal entertaining like style, so that I enjoy watching it back as well. I noticed that a big thing for me is when I started, I would follow these runners and they could say, you know, I used to be overweight, or I used to be run a 16-minute mile or whatever, but they never showed themselves like that. And I'm only seeing them like looking really skinny and running a 5-minute mile. So it's always been really important to me to show like where I'm at. So film from day one, even though it's really not the most fun to watch back. And then just like take everyone with me. So, just like entertaining self-improvement, I think, is what I'm sticking to. Running is always going to be part of that because I need it, or I'm going to like cry all the time.
Yeah. I think that's why I like watching your stuff so much, because I relate so heavily to all of what you just said, where it's like, mm-hmm. no one shows the day one, like, because no one wants to document that. Like, that's fair. I mean, it's hard. Like, who wants to show themselves the day one? No one. I mean, I agree. It's painful. And I feel like now, because I don't know, I've been on the internet for so long and it's just automatic. It's like, I've gotten over the mental aspect of like showing myself in a place where I don't feel like I'm, I don't know, either feel that good, look that good, I'm running really slow, whatever. I don't really care anymore, but it's taken years to like get over that mentally for me. But I think that's why people like watching your content. Maybe people relate to my content because of that, because it's really like, there's not that many people that are showing the overall journey of whatever that you're going through. And I think you do a really good job of that. And then it's also, being a creator, it's very hard to not get drawn in by the numbers.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you have a really good head on your shoulders, where it's like, you want to stick to the content that you want to make, not just because, and it's just so hard too, because money's involved too, obviously.
Right.
Like,
right.
If you're making things that are going viral, like, you're going to make a lot more money. But then in the long run, like, you're really looking out for your future self, which is good, because in the long run, if you're only making the viral content, it's just going to drain you if you're not actually making content that you want to make. Yeah, Lydia and I have talked about that too, where it's just like, it's just so hard to say no to the viral content.
It's just not sustainable.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when a video does well, I put more value on that if it's one that I really like making and I want to make more of. I'm like, oh, I'm so relieved, because that's what I'm going to be doing anyway.
Yeah.
But when something goes viral and I know that's not going to be my content, I don't even pay attention if new followers came in, because I they're going to leave when they realize, like, I'm going to be crying in a cornfield in like the next 5 months. So like, that's just what you're going to see.
I think honestly, kind of like, I used to post these commentary videos on YouTube and they would do really well. And it got to a point where I was like, I'm over this. Like, I can't keep posting the commentary videos, but I would do it because I was like, I need to post a video. And it's like, I know it'll do well. And I almost felt guilty after posting it, because I was like, I don't actually really want to do this. I know people listening to this are going to be like sad to hear this, because everyone loves the videos, but it's like, it gets to a certain point where it's like, I'm overdone it. And I'm like, okay. So it makes me feel a little guilty, but yeah.
Well, then you might be inspired in the future to like to do that again, but when you want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
that's like with the short stuff, I'm like, all right, well, season's over, I'm done with that. You know, maybe till like next year or something. But then USATF gave me those running underwear things.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I have to do a shorts review. Like, there's no question.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, obviously wasn't like a real, hey, get these. But I was inspired to like do that again.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, when the time is so right, you're gonna do it.
Yeah, so maybe for your commentary stuff, it'll be similar.
Yeah, I agree. And I also like what you said about, I don't know, it seems like we have kind of similar viewpoints. And it's like, I don't really care about going viral necessarily and having millions of subscribers and followers. Like, if that happens, sure, I guess. Mm-hmm. But like, in terms of goals also, like, I just kind of like my little niche I have now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I am hard on myself if I'm like getting less views and stuff, whatever, because I'm like, I'm becoming irrelevant. But that being said, like, I really feel content with my like little niche and like the little platforms I've built. And I feel like I have to keep striving for more and more and more, because that's what's going to keep me motivated. But I don't know. It's not like my main goal to be super duper famous or anything. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like sustaining what I'm doing now and sharing my life with people.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my main goal. And then just like seeing the process over time too. Like, I don't know. My content has changed a lot since the
beginning. Now I feel like you're going to go, and like some of the reason I asked as well is like, you have an editor now. So that's going to, all that time that you spent editing is now going to be freed up for you to really be free to like get creative and think what you want to post, instead of just like, oh shoot, I have to make a video.
Yeah,
so
that's
literally
the reason I got the editors, because I was like, this is draining so much of my mental energy even just thinking about having to edit videos. Where I was like, how about we like, finally, I could have done this years ago, to be honest. I probably should have, but I was just dreading the process of like hiring someone and like finding someone and stuff, and then having to figure out how to like send over footage and payment and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, whatever. I was just dreading all of it. But I was like, yeah. I got to a point where I was like, Emma, if you want to be like, if you want to keep doing this for however long in the future, you need to outsource the editing because it's draining you and you don't even do it that much because yeah. of how much it drains you just thinking about it. So
yeah, yeah, I feel like your content, I love it already, but like in terms of YouTube, you're going to have like a burst of creativity and yeah. consistency, which is just going to like, you're going to find a whole new audience, I feel like, because yeah. your big core audience is, I'm assuming, from like the Oregon, like serious runner yeah. type people. And you'll still keep them, obviously, because that's what you are. But then you'll have like this influx of new people. I don't know. I'm excited to watch your new videos.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I hope so, because yeah, I'm not like an Oregon elite runner anymore. So people will
once an Oregon elite runner, always an Oregon.
Okay, yeah, but it's funny because like I feel like people still know me as that, and I'm just like, oh man, like I just not that anymore. But I just need to do a better job of documenting, I think, on YouTube, like that this next like part of my life. Because I feel like it'll, I don't know, I'm going to redefine myself.
I feel like there's also more people that are like you who were serious runners.
Yeah, definitely.
And then aren't anymore yes. compared to like serious, you know, professional runners. So like that's a niche right there of yeah. people that could find you that just got burnt out or for some reason or another don't do that anymore. But they still have that past and those feelings that you have and like on the start line of a non-elite pack or whatever and probably share the feelings. So I don't know. You could like be relatable to that whole group. I'm yeah. sure.
I mean, there's definitely potential. I just need to post on YouTube.
Just
again.
Gotta title things.
Yeah. Right. Titles and thumbnails. Titles and thumbnails.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Wow, I feel like this has been like a therapy session for me. I feel like I've talked for half the episode.
But that's what I said to you in the email. I'm like, I have so many questions for you.
Yeah, no, this is good. I feel like this will rejuvenate me. This will help me go on my run right now, you know.
Oh, good.
Yeah, need a little
motivation. I'm gonna go train for my next race. Do you know what it is?
No, I was gonna ask, like, what is next?
My first ever turkey trot.
Oh, wait, that's yeah. coming in extremely hot.
Yeah, so I hopefully can still run 3 miles. We'll see.
Have you been running consistently after the marathon?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. What happened? So I was after the marathon, and then I started to incorporate strength training. I was even going to yoga 3 times a week.
Whoa.
Yeah. Strength, watch out.
Yoga and running?
Yeah. I mean, I was running not a lot, not far.
Yeah, but still.
So it was like, yeah. And then I had to get this thing removed on my back because they thought it was like cancer or something. Hashtag Irish whatever. Anyway, I have to go to the dermatologist like every 6 months to get checked. But anyway, so I thought it would be this little thing that they removed. I've had them in the past. And they, I'm not going to be graphic, but I had to get 5 stitches down the middle of my back. And I couldn't do anything for 2 weeks because like where it was, if I stretched forward or if I like lifted or whatever, the stitches could have come undone. So I feel like I'm starting over.
The best feeling when you get into a routine and then you're just sidetracked immediately against your will.
Yeah. And then you have to start running again. Your legs just feel like flopping like uncontrollably.
Yeah. But your hip and stuff is okay now.
That was fine, like immediately, probably the next day even. So I'm like, yeah.
You cross the line and it's fine.
Just like, a weak bitch.
Okay. Well, turkey trot, not that bad. That's 5K.
I mean, you can walk that, really. Yeah. I'm going to wear a costume, of course.
Oh, yeah. I would assume nothing less of you.
Yeah.
And then, like, after that, what do you think?
I was going to not do a marathon this year and just run when I want and focus on getting stronger. And doing like my uncomfy challenges, but someone from BAA slipped my manager business card at the New York City stuff, and I'm like,
oh gosh,
okay, well,
that's like soon too. Well, not soon, but it's soon enough.
Here's another issue that you couldn't relate to, but you're going to know what I'm talking about. If somebody like me got into Boston Marathon by not qualifying and not doing charity, the rage that some people would feel.
Oh, I understand. Right? I see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Like,
you still I've think, though, in this day and age, like, people know yeah. that. Really?
Have you seen, what's that website everyone tells me not to go on?
Oh, Let's Run?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I hate Let's Run. I say it anytime it gets brought up. I hate Let's Run. I'll say it directly into my mic.
I hate Let's Run. Yeah, I've never looked at it. I know better. But, I mean, that, if there's a community of like that, then yeah, there's still people like that.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. But
and can they keep it to themselves? Probably not.
No, they need to discuss amongst themselves in their dark dungeons on the internet.
Right.
Female runners.
That's what I feel like they look and sound like.
No, literally, that's like what they do. I wish I could just see a photo of everyone that posts on that website or any hate comment, honestly, in general.
If you hit post, it has to snapshot a picture of your face.
Exactly. And we don't upload. Know. They don't know that it happened.
Yeah, just get sent to us.
Yeah, exactly. All the people looking, but you don't even know that the photo gets taken of you.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that would be so funny. I would pay money to see that.
Oh, I bet a lot of people would.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, that'll be interesting. I mean, if you do end up deciding to do Boston.
I mean, it's a long shot, honestly, because I have so many hesitations toward it, but I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. TBD.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I'm going to go through a few listener questions if you have time.
Oh yeah.
Okay. How did you and Dan meet?
We actually knew each other in high school and I was like way cooler. Just, yeah.
Not trying to flex. Sheesh.
Yeah. But we actually didn't get together until like, I think, when did I graduate? Probably like 4 years after we graduated high school.
Okay. And then you guys just...
Oh, like, sorry. Oh. So he was like, he reached a level of cool that was like acceptable to me. And then I was like, oh, I guess we could date. And yeah. I'm not joking. He was like really dorky in high school.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. They got to grow up a little bit and make like look a little bit better maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dress a little bit better.
Now look at me now.
Yeah, you guys are thriving. I mean, people are asking for dating advice because you make such a good couple and he seems very supportive. And yeah, I actually need dating advice. So if you have any, what should I look out for?
Dating advice. Oh my gosh, I feel like mine's outdated, but I feel like people don't pay attention to, like, they get, what's that, rose-colored glasses or something?
Yeah.
When you don't see... So like if the other person's really good looking or if they have other things that you value a lot, you tend to get like rose colored glasses and you don't see maybe some red flags and the like you're I don't know. And because they're disguised really well.
Yeah.
So try not to pay too much attention to those things you're like uber interested in about the person and focus more on like. I'm going to find out what's wrong with you.
Oh, picking out the red flags immediately. I mean, like, incorrect.
And like having your friends give you honest, like, feedback because you might be not seeing things clearly. And also, what's their relationship with their parents, especially their mom? Like, if it's a guy, I feel like is very telling how close they are with their family. And why?
That's good advice, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's all I can think of for now, but I'm sure I have a lot more.
No, that's good advice, though.
Don't stand for any poop behavior, because it'll just get worse when you actually date them or, like, marry them or something. And then that's why people get in these stuck relationships.
Yeah, that's... Good advice. I should have listened to that a couple months ago.
Oh no.
I had a case of the rose colored glasses. If you
Did
know what
you?
I mean. Yeah, it's not good.
Oh no.
But it's fine. We're back on the streets. So
okay.
If anyone listening that doesn't have any red flags and
Shout
you're 6'4" and successful, let me know. And you're hot. Let me know.
Oh, okay. So you have criteria.
No, I don't really have that much. That's
is
just
it,
like my
is the 6'4" one?
No. Honestly, if someone's like my height, I'm like 5'11", so that's already okay. Like limits the dating pool a little bit for me.
A little bit, but it's not like, oh, you have to be 6'4". I don't even know.
I just like laugh and I say 6'4" because it's okay. Like, yeah, maybe but really 5'11". They're 6'4", but like, I just want someone that's nice to me.
What about that guy?
Oh no.
I'm gonna look him up right now. I interviewed him.
Oh gosh.
And I thought this guy would be very good match for someone that needs someone tall.
I'm extremely scared for who you're about to pull up.
Do you want to guess?
No, wait, this was person after the 5K?
Yeah, but I don't think I didn't put the video up yet, I don't think. So oh you might not.
Oh my gosh. Really tall? Oh, I don't know. Just tell me.
Okay. Mason Furlan.
I knew you were gonna say Mason Furlan. he's dating someone else.
Oh man.
And also I don't think he's really my vibe. He's too smart.
He's like aerospace engineering.
Yeah.
I know that because I had to study their bios.
Oh, there we go. That's so funny. I was like tall. I was like, okay, she's gonna say probably Mason Furlick, like, but I'm gonna wait.
Well, to me, they're all tall. Like even the Tin Man Elite people, guys, they were tall.
They're tall. The Tin Man guys, I feel like, are like 5'6" maybe.
I'm 5'4" or 5'5" on a good day. So to me, I was like, everyone was tall except the women. And but I really wanted to interview Mason the next day because I wanted to sketch his race kit for next year. And I was going to put like these aerodynamic things that go like off the back of his shorts and off the sides of his head but show it to him in like a really serious way. Like
see what he says,
but like it with a straight face and be like, I know you're, you know, studying aerospace engineering and aerodynamics is like really important in that field. I also know a lot about this. And so I took the liberty of sketching up what I think your race kit should look like next year to shave off some, you know, seconds from your 5K time and just like with a straight face, show him it and see what he would do. But I think he just probably slid out of there before I could get to him.
He knew what you were plotting.
I don't blame him.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's so funny. I wish that happened.
I know, I'm sad, but
another time.
Next time.
Yeah. How do you refrain from comparing your times to others?
By not knowing my times. I had to look up because people would ask what my time was, and I honestly didn't know. So I had to go in my app for the race and look it up.
Mm.
Also, you can always make yourself feel better by knowing Pamela Anderson's marathon time is 5:41.
Swag.
Right. Okay. So, and also, how do I not compare... I don't know. It's just very black and white to me. Like, I am not that person. And I don't want to be because they probably did strength training and I didn't want to.
Oh. Oh, my gosh. I think that was the quote of the episode. I'm obsessed with that. That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. Okay. My last question is, what motivates you?
To run or like just specifically? Like,
I don't know, to like get out of bed and get after it, whatever that may be. Taking care of your kids.
Yeah. If I'm really unmotivated, the kids, because they, like I said, they don't care. You just have to get up. So that they like gives you that momentum. Otherwise, I would just not move, I think, on those days. And then running motivation is just, do I want to be sane? Or do I want to be a puddle of tears? So
that's good motivation.
Right.
I wish I had that where I'm gonna mentally spiral if I don't run.
Yeah. Or just like fast forwarding after like the decision of I'm not gonna run today. And then like so thinking of how you'll feel at the end of the day. And then fast forwarding, if you do run, how you'll feel at the end of the day and comparing those two, that sometimes helps me too.
What? Okay, this is my last question. What brings you the most like fulfillment, like part of I guess your job or running or whatever?
I think for job, like this content creation stuff, is definitely meeting people in person and hearing like a specific account of how my videos affected them. In the Chicago Marathon, there were like two that really stuck with me. One girl was in her 20s and she got hit by a car and had to have a hip replacement. And she like gave up everything. She's like, well, I'm never gonna be able to run a marathon. I'm never gonna be able to do anything that I wanted to. And then she started watching my videos and realized like, oh, you can just like have fun. You don't have to take it so serious and like meet a certain time and you can run a marathon if you want. And then this other girl, she started crying immediately when she saw me, and she lost like an enormous amount of weight. It was some health reason, and I can't remember exactly what, but she started watching my videos, and that got her into running because she used to be like too scared that people would see her running. Because like when you think of runners or you see runners outside, a lot of times they look, as we say, look like runners. So those stories like that, I mean, that is immediately like fulfilling to me.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you've helped so many people, especially in the running world. Like, I don't know.
Which is hard to grasp with imposter syndrome.
And that's why I agree, because people say the same thing to me. Yeah. Like,
right. If you read it in a comment or a DM, like it's still meaningful, but when someone's in front of you and you can like really feel their emotions, and I don't know, it's just, it puts it into perspective. So, and then that's also another thing. If a video of mine doesn't do well, but I feel like it's helpful in some way, that like one person that kind of needs it is probably going to see it. So that like instantly can get you out of your head if you're focusing on views.
Yeah. You have a really good head on your shoulders for this career path. I feel like you're kind of meant for this, because it's hard. It's hard mentally to like deal with all of it, and being in the public eye, like, I don't know, it's difficult. So it's cool to see your perspective.
Thank you. Yeah. I think like at the stage of life I'm in helps.
Yeah.
You know, like you're so much younger and you're just, well, you're just out of college, I feel like.
I mean, not really. Now it's been 4 years.
Well, to me, that's just out of college.
Yeah. I've also, like, I'm very different than 4 years ago. Like, I also feel like I'm in a different stage of life than a lot of people that are on the internet or, like, whatever, influencers are very young. And it's a lot harder when you're younger, because I feel like I turned 25 and my frontal lobe, like, fully developed.
Yeah.
And a lot of things clicked. Like, genuinely, I just, like, because I used to have, like, really, really, like, severe body image problems and like body dysmorphia, like the same thing of like I didn't want to go out for a run because I was scared of people seeing me, which is funny, like looking back, where I'm just like,
right,
what's going on in my brain, like why was I so scared? But yeah, I feel like when I've gotten older and I just like don't, and same thing with like posting on the internet, like I just don't care what I look like there's just a lot of things.
It's click. Freeing.
Like, it's freeing. And I was talking to my sister yesterday and it was like, I just am so glad that I'm not in that headspace anymore, because it was so incredibly exhausting. But I feel like, just getting older, I guess.
Yeah.
Exposure therapy of just continuing to do it regardless.
Yeah. Exposure therapy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've taken up so much of your time, so I appreciate you coming on though.
This was fun for me, so thank you.
Yeah. Good. I love to hear that. Where can people follow you at?
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Mrs.space.cadet on TikTok. And then, I'm like, I am Mrs. Space Cadet on Instagram and Twitter, if that's still a thing.
Yeah, apparently now I saw something trending, RIP Twitter, yesterday. So.
Yeah. Oh, and Mrs. Space Cadet on YouTube.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't forget the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I got to remember, I'm on YouTube.
Yeah, there we go. All right, Erin, thank you so much for coming on the episode, or I guess the podcast again, for your second episode. I actually really love this conversation, so I'm glad that I had it this morning, because it motivated me for the rest of the day. Truly. Yay. I'm going to go for a run right now, and it helped me. But to close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Combos Over Cold Brew with Aaron. Seriously, one of my favorite episodes in a long time, and we chatted for like 30 extra minutes afterwards. She's just incredible. One of my favorite creators, especially in the running niche. So go give her a follow if you're not already. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram as well, Combos Over Cold Brew Pod, if you want to be up to date or submit listener questions for the episodes. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you guys listen, because I love reading your guys' reviews. It seriously makes my day. So thank you all so much for listening. Happy Thanksgiving again, and I will catch you all next week. Peace out, fellas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.